I am Ziminshu Dasuzi, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. With me today is Zahir Malik. He's going to share with us his experiences on extending SharePoint solutions. But before we get started, Zahir, can you introduce yourself first?
Sure. My name is Zahir Malik. I've been a Microsoft professional for past many years, Microsoft MVP and iNetter speaker for past many years. I have a fairly popular blog, I've written articles, spoken at conferences, I deliver trainings, and I deliver solutions to my clients.
SharePoint has been really kind of widely adopted since its inception. Help us understand why SharePoint, you know, has become so well received, well accepted, well adopted by enterprise customers. What's your experience?
Sure. So customers love SharePoint. Customers love SharePoint because it is very easy for SharePoint for customers to use SharePoint. Business users have almost no learning curve in using the basic facilities that SharePoint offers. Not only that, SharePoint is a very flexible platform that can address a large number of business needs, all the way from an individual site, my site. It has features such as search, BI, forms, workflows, and all of these things that can address various challenges that any organization faces. And then there's so much that it does out of the box, but the things that it cannot do out of the box, you can extend SharePoint with .NET to make it do what you need it to do.
I know you've been working on SharePoint for many years. So what has been your experiences of extending SharePoint solutions? Can you give us some examples?
Sure. I've worked with a number of clients on different kinds of projects. So the few that come at the top of my head at this moment are I worked with a client in implementing a business flow using InfoPath forms that was powering an outside-facing website, and the outside-facing website was a combination of various other platforms. Like, it was a who's who of technologies. You know, it had Java on it, it had JavaScript on it, it had PHP, classic ASP, all versions of .NET, everything was on it, right? So SharePoint neatly plugged into that system and was able to publish content to such a diverse system. Another project that I worked on was an extranet. Again, a very different requirement. We were using the same platform. We were able to allow collaboration between internal staff and external staff, right, or external partner organizations. Another example I can think of is where we implement using Excel services. We implemented the generation and calculation of very complicated Excel sheets on a server, typically a computer that is way more powerful than a typical laptop can be. So a lot of these financial organizations have extremely complex Excel sheets. And computing such an Excel sheet on typical laptop hardware, even today, can take hours. But if you have the ability to queue that up in an Excel services-based custom solution, the clients just totally love it, absolutely love it.
So as you work through these, you know, major, larger-scale projects, have you encountered any challenges and issues?
Well, absolutely. As good as SharePoint is, it does have a few challenges. I would group those challenges mostly in three different categories. And number one, I would say technology-related challenges. The development tools aren't there. They're not that good. The debugging experience is difficult. Development is usually on a virtual machine, things like that. The second challenge I would put on is on the personnel side. SharePoint has been widely successful, widely popular, very widely accepted. And a lot of customers are customizing it, which has suddenly produced this huge demand for good SharePoint consultants, right? So finding good skills is difficult for a SharePoint project. And the third challenge I would put is on the management side of the project, where typically in a SharePoint project, there is a greater overlap between different roles, the IT pro, developer, and a database. There's a greater overlap between
these
roles.
And also maybe administrators too.
Administrators, exactly. And these kinds of things produce unique challenges that are typical to a SharePoint project.
So the obvious question is, how do you address these challenges?
I can talk about it, but it'll be a lot easier to explain in diagrams. Can I use the whiteboard?
Go ahead.
All right. The world has moved on since SharePoint 2007 was released, and an interesting keyword that we hear these days is rich internet applications. People are getting used to things such as HTML5, where you look at Facebook and all, people are using a lot of Ajax. They're using a lot of, you know, Flash or Silverlight, but rich UIs that expose themselves directly inside a very thin client, which is your browser. So let's think of any typical SharePoint application. Any SharePoint application, let me draw a line here, you have the client,
and you have the server, right? So any SharePoint application, think of any, can be abstracted as that in the client, which is typically the browser, the user would make some sort of action, some sort of request, and the server has to respond with an alternate UI as a response to the user's action, right? Okay. So in any functionality that you want to provide rich UI functionality over here, you would use things such as Silverlight, you would use things such as Ajax, or anything else. Now, Silverlight obviously is very widely adopted now, and it's getting very popular, but there still might be a computer out there that may not have Silverlight. When you are developing a product, you don't control the client. That is something that the client, the user, controls. So what you want to be able to do, let's say for instance, is to gracefully degrade your rich Silverlight application to a rich but not so rich Ajax UI as well, with the least work possible. So the idea over here is that first you would decide, what is it that your server provides? What functionality does your server provide? And that becomes a contract. Let's say that you wish to provide a functionality such as get me list items that I have access to. So you work within the SharePoint security model, and you want to be able to get a list of list items that you have access to, and that becomes your contract that the server and client can agree upon, right?
Right.
So another interesting technology that has come out of Microsoft is WCF. It was introduced in .NET 3.0, which is possibly one of the best architected things, at least in my personal opinion, that has come out of Microsoft. It is very, very elegant and very, very usable. So what you do is that you take that contract and you can write that out as a C# or VB.NET interface that serves as your WCF contract, right? So you host, you put a little WCF layer over here within SharePoint, and what you do is that you expose that contract to your end user, to the end user UI, which can be then absorbed over Silverlight or over Ajax by just making a few web.config changes. Now, the beauty of WCF is that you first decide on the contract. You define the structure of your contract, then you worry about the implementation details, the technical details such as what protocols will I support, what kind of authentication standards will I support, et cetera, which is another way of saying that once you define this contract, you can change both the backend and the front-end to your heart's content by just making a few web.config changes, right? So what this allows you to do is that it lets you take out the server out of this picture, which in this case is SharePoint. So let's say that typically when you're developing for SharePoint, you would develop on a virtual machine, you would have IIS, Windows, server-based OS, you would have SQL Server running, you would have Visual Studio. If you're developing for Silverlight, you would have Ajax Blend, possibly a few instances of your browser, a chat window. You're running a lot of things on a virtual machine. So the development experience is slow. Plus, when you put stuff, even develop for SharePoint, typically you do IIS reset. It's not that productive because an IIS reset will make you wait a few seconds every time you hit Control-Shift-B to build your project, right? When I look at my .NET buddies and they hit F5 and a breakpoint gets hit within 2 seconds, I feel jealous. Well, not anymore. So what I can do over here is that step one, I declare this WCF contract, right? Then I can take the server out of the picture completely, right? So I don't have to do this on a SharePoint VM anymore. I replace this backend with a mock service that returns me dummy data, right? And this I can do on a Vista machine, for instance. I don't even need SharePoint to do this. It just returns me dummy objects, and SharePoint will work with things such as link and so on and so forth, so I can work with those objects.
Can I ask you a question here? So how do you make sure that you respect the SharePoint specific security model, which you mentioned earlier on?
Absolutely. What you do is that WCF is a lot bigger than just ASP.NET. SharePoint, I think of it as a big and complex ASP.NET app.
Correct.
So WCF typically does not work by default in ASP.NET compatibility mode, right? But with a few tweaks, you can ask WCF to work under ASP.NET compatibility mode. When you're using a Silverlight front-end, you would use basic HTTP binding, which is the equivalent of out-of-the-box SharePoint web services. When you're using Ajax, you change the binding to use web HTTP binding. One of the things that is there in the SharePoint web.config is identity impersonate is equal to true, which means the guy that is logged onto the browser, his identity is passed to the backend server when making all these requests. But this identity will be ignored by WCF by default because WCF is not working under ASP.NET compatibility mode. So what you do, you make two little changes to your WCF service. You decorate it with an attribute, and you put a little ASP.NET compatibility mode required in the web.config. You make those two changes, and suddenly now you're working as if you're a part of ASP.NET, and therefore you will have access to ASP.Context.Current, and therefore you will respect the SharePoint security model as well.
I see.
So continuing what I was talking about, you create this contract, you create a mock service implementation behind the scenes, and then what you do is that you start developing your front end. Now, when you're developing for SharePoint, let's say that the Silverlight app or this Ajax app is going to sit on an application page or in a web part or whatever you wish. Typically, you will take a SharePoint page and you'll draw a little rectangle on it and I'll say, this is where my UI will sit, right? So wouldn't it be nice if I did not have to develop that UI inside of SharePoint, that I could develop it inside of an ASP.NET app instead, and then reliably move that look and feel and all the functionality into SharePoint, but just a matter of a little copy-paste, right?
Right.
So what you do then is that you use out-of-the-box Visual Studio 2008 templates, either a Silverlight project or an ASP.NET web application. And then the same WCF service, you would host that in that ASP.NET web application, and then expose that to either a Silverlight UI or an Ajax frontend by simply switching the binding at this end. Right? So if you want to consume the same service inside of Silverlight, you would use basic HTTP binding. And if you want to consume the same service inside of Ajax, what you do is you simply replace it with web HTTP binding and use the enable web script behavior. What that lets you do is that it lets you go to a special URL called .svc, whichever is your endpoint for the WCF service, /JS or /JSDebug, and the .NET framework will generate a JavaScript proxy for your WCF service, right? So then what you do is that you go ahead and develop your Ajax UI, and you go ahead and develop your Silverlight UI. When you look at the actual code for this Ajax UI that is talking to the WCF service, it looks almost like C#, right? There's, you know, and the code looks very, very maintainable, and it looks very, very clear. It's not like writing Ajax code from scratch, because that proxy is helping you out a lot. The code is much more readable. I would say it is almost 90% as good as C#, even though you're writing it in JavaScript, right? And when you're writing it in Silverlight, you simply add service reference or use a utility called slsvcutil.exe, which is supposed to ship with Silverlight 3, and you generate a proxy and use that proxy here. Another interesting thing I want to mention is that, you know, in .NET RIA services, rich internet application services, they have this concept of having a shared .cs. So Ajax can't do this, but if you wanted to have custom business objects exposed out of here, and the custom business objects had the intelligence in them, right? So these are plain old C# objects. These custom business objects can be exposed all the way out to Silverlight using a shared .cs file, and all that intelligence over this WCF boundary goes all the way to your front end. And this enables a lot of interesting scenarios that typically are available only to a .NET developer, not usually a SharePoint developer. Because now you have mock objects, so TDD becomes a lot easier, test-driven development. All your development tools will work a lot easier. And because you're really exposing the same functionality over both Silverlight and Ajax, without having to rewrite anything beyond this layer here, what you can do is that you can simply detect if the client has Silverlight. If the client did not have Silverlight, you can expose the same functionality over Ajax, right? So you have a good, graceful degrade if you need it. Then once you finish this UI, again, what I mentioned was that you can develop this UI, this entire functionality, just the UI, or using mock objects on a Vista machine. You don't even need SharePoint for this. Then what you do is that you can hand over this project to somebody who doesn't even know SharePoint, somebody who's a designer, somebody who's better at Expression Blend, and ask him to open this project in Expression Blend and create a good-looking UI over here. If you've seen any of the UIs that I've done, I can assure you, you won't be impressed by my designer skills, right? So you hand it over to somebody who understands the designer side of things better. Once they finish this UI, then as long as you don't change this contract, you reintroduce SharePoint back here, and you don't have to touch any of this. You don't have to touch this contract. All you do is rewrite this mock object, replace the mock object with a real object, and steal these artifacts from here. This Ajax ASPX is just some JavaScript that you can copy-paste it, even in a content editor web part, but you can put it wherever you want. The Silverlight UI is a ZAP file that you would deploy through a solution, and you put all this stuff in a SharePoint WSP, deploy it, and it'll work.
So if I understand this model, basically, you are introducing a layer of abstraction. So what are the direct benefits of doing that?
So earlier I mentioned the challenges with technology, personnel, and management. So from a technology perspective, now that you have this model, you don't need to develop mostly on a VM. You don't even SharePoint to develop most of this application. This can be developed on a real machine, say a Vista machine, with development tools that come out of Visual Studio 2008. The second advantage is that you can use your own C-sharp objects and not be tied by the rigidity of the object model that was written better to support SharePoint, not your front-end UI. For instance, in Silverlight, you can't right-click and add service, add reference to Microsoft.SharePoint because Silverlight is a restricted version of the .NET framework. Another huge advantage that you get out of that, when I mentioned personnel, really the only SharePoint that you need code that you need to write here is when you author the real object. And the real object, as long as you follow a certain interface, which is the contract, you're all set. So to write the rest of everything, you don't even need to know SharePoint. So you don't have to find the Superman who knows Silverlight, Ajax, WCF, and SharePoint. You can simply find somebody with a specialized skill who's good at expression blend, and he can work very well through this contract with somebody who does know SharePoint. Right? So it introduces a personnel problem is solved to a great extent. And then from a manageability perspective, you can start treating SharePoint like an app server on which you can incrementally deploy new functionality, use assembly info.cs to control the versioning of your DLLs, standard concepts that have been created for WCF to control versioning of your data contracts, and control your front-end UIs and your back-end UIs by just making these web.config entries. So it solves the manageability versioning problem as well.
Excellent. So if I want to get started, what's your recommendation?
Well, my recommendation is to just do it. There is so much exciting stuff coming out of Microsoft. There are so many articles and so much guidance that is available on this. Just take the dive. Don't sit on the corner. Take the dive and start doing all of this stuff. But I must tell you that in all this excitement, all of these nice things that Microsoft is releasing, it's very easy to get sucked into this. Don't forget to live a balanced life while you're doing this.
Thank you for that advice. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks.